Yeruch HaChanukah, everyone. I guess another fire drill in the spirit of Chanukah is a holy thing. If we do it one more time, it's going to become the minhag. So please try to put in a good word for me. Last time we got together, we spoke about Hashem. And if you remember, we spoke about Yaakov Avinu waking up from that awesome dream. And he declared, after seeing everything that a Jew could possibly want to see, he saw all of Jewish history in that dream. He saw Galus, he saw Geula, he saw the secrets of the universe, the depths of the Torah. And yet when he woke up, he said a very simple thing, Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. He said, I see Hashem. There's a lot of details, there's a lot of pieces, but the overarching theme of everything that I see is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We spent some time talking about how we can try to be like Yaakov and learn to see Hashem in everything that we encounter in the world. I unfortunately did not speak enough about Chanukah last time, and I want to speak about Chanukah today, and I want this to sort of be the continuation of where we left off last time, because I need to do tshuva for the fact that we barely spoke about Kislev, we didn't speak about Chanukah last time. So I want to talk about our relationship with Hashem, specifically through the prism of Chanukah. If I asked you to try to describe Hashem, what would you say? I know that's a bold question. Someone. I asked you to try to describe Hashem. Please don't be scared. Someone has to speak. Go for it.
Invisible.
Invisible. Okay? Invisible. Yes?
Omnipresent.
Omnipresent. That's a good word. Yes, please. Okay, beyond, add whatever else we want to beyond. Okay, let's take one more. Our Father. Nice. Okay, there's a lot of ways we could try to begin the process of describing Hashem, but it's not, I think the reason that not every hand shot up in the room is because it's not such a simple thing to try to put Hashem into words. There's a lot of feelings, emotions, ideas that we think about when we describe Hashem, but it's not a simple task to try to define HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In davening, we have descriptive words for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKel, HaGadol, HaGibor, VaHaNora. Hashem is Gadol. Hashem is a Gibor. Hashem is Nora. He's awesome. These are words that describe Hashem. But by definition, trying to attach words to HaKadosh Baruch Hu limits HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a Gemara in Megillah on Daf Yud Ches. The Gemara is describing the order of Shemoneh Esrei. The Gemara says, why do we have Avos? Then we have Gvuros, etc., etc., etc. It's explaining the order of the entire Shemoneh Esrei. And the Gemara says at the end, from the time that Shemoneh Esrei was established, you're not allowed to add any of your own pieces, any of your own praises. Mikan ve'elech, leave it alone. Now there are places in Shemoneh Esrei where we could talk to Hashem on a personal level, but as far as changing the text of Shemoneh Esrei, we don't touch the text of Shemoneh Esrei. The people who set up the text of Shemoneh Esrei were the greatest Jews of all time, arguably. The greatest group of Jews, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. And even they, according to some, didn't fully understand what they were writing. They were writing with a degree of Ruach HaKodesh. And the Gemara brings a pasuk to explain to us why you should leave it alone. Gemara Darshan's the pasuk says, Mi yamalel gevuras Hashem, yashmiya kol tilaso. The Gemara says, Asur lesaper b'shivcho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's asur to speak the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Mi yamalel gevuras Hashem. Who is fit, lemalel, to speak the praises of Hashem? Yashmiya kol tilaso. Only someone who on some level gets HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely. If you understand kol tilaso, if you understand Hashem completely, then maybe you can begin to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But even the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, when they said Gadol, Gibor, Nora, they were following after what Moshe Rabbeinu had already presented in the Torah. Which means that, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked out those expressions for himself. A few dafim later on Maseches Megillah Daf Chaf Hei, the Gemara tells a story. One time, someone got up. You know, sometimes when people are chazanim, they're very much aware of the tzibur. They understand that they represent the tzibur. Sometimes a chazan gets up and he's doing his own thing. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't realize that he's kind of just putting on like a concert. And people maybe or maybe are not so interested in him. So anyways, this chazan got up one time in the presence of Rabbi Chanina. Gemara Megillah Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. And he started to daven and he wanted to spice up the davening. So he said, HaKel, HaGadol, HaGibor, VaNora. V'ha'adir, v'ha'chazak, v'ha'amitz. Very nice. Nice descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Hanina came over to me after the daven, and he said, so I noticed that you added a few praises of Hashem. You added a couple of expressions. So that was it? You summed up the entirety of God? Meaning you felt some things were lacking, so you were just filling in the missing pieces. So when you said Chazak and Adir and Amitz, so that's it? He said the whole thing? And the guy, well, yeah. There's other things we could say. So Rabbi Hanina said to him, don't touch Shmon Esrei, leave Shmon Esrei alone. Shmon Esrei was set up in a very specific way. Mi'amal Gvuras Hashem. You want to sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yashmiya Kol Tilas, you have to get the big picture. You can't talk about Hashem if you don't understand the big picture. There's a similar Gemara that appears in Maseches Makos and Maseches Horios. Makos Daf Yud, Horios Daf Yud Gimel. The Gemara says on the very same pasuk, Mi'amal Gvuras Hashem, not in the context of Tefillah, but in the context of Torah. Mi'amal Gvuras Hashem, if you want to teach Torah publicly, then Yashmiya Kol Tilas. You have to understand the entirety of the Torah. Piskei Tosos, back in Maseches Megillah and Os Lamed Hei, say it very clearly. The Gemara is a little bit vague. The Piskei Tosos in the back of the Gemara says, Ein Noha Lidrosh Berabim El Mishi Odea Kola Torah Kula. A person should not speak publicly unless they know the entirety of the Torah. Thank you so much for coming today, and I'll see you when I know Kola Torah Kula. That's a scary line. The Shir could, and probably should, stop right there. That a person has to you have to understand the full picture. You can't talk about Hashem. You can't describe Hashem unless you understand the entirety of Hashem. So which is it? Is it about tefillah? Is it about praising Hashem in the context of tefillah? Is it about learning about Hashem? Teaching about Hashem? And I think the Gemara can use the same pasuk to teach both things because it's one and the same. If I want to praise Hashem, there's no greater praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than to share His ideas, than to share His feelings, which is teaching Torah. So the Gemara is warning us, if you want to define a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you better have a good sense of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is about. So, I return to our opening question. If you had to describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu, what would you say? Now that we see that it's not such a simple task. Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor. Again, had Anshei Knesset Gadol not learned that from Moshe Rabbeinu, had it not been canonized as part of the Torah, we couldn't even say that. So how do we describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu? What is the best description that we have for Kadosh Baruch Hu? Is Gadol Gibor V'Norah the best we have? In some ways, maybe yes. But if I had to sum up a Kadosh Baruch Hu, what is the best way to describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu? If you look in the language of Chassidus and Kabbalah, there's a term that we use to describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as the Or Ein Sof. The Or Ein Sof, literally the endless light. The Or Ein Sof. Kadosh Baruch Hu is compared to Or. So if I were to ask you, is it appropriate to think of Hashem as light? The answer is no. Hashem is not light. So why do we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu light? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ein Sof? That seems like a fitting description. Ein Sof means endless. Is it fair and appropriate to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as endless? Rav Chaim Volozhiner says, you know what the term Ein Sof actually means? It's not going on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's going on us. Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in Nefesh HaChaim in the second Shar, he says that Ein Sof is our relationship to Him. And that we have to see ourselves as, I can't get to the end of this because Hashem is endless. But to even call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ein Sof, by putting it into words, is already limiting. The words themselves mean endless, but putting it into words is limiting. And therefore, even though this term, an Or Ein Sof, is already found in the Zohar and Parshas Bo, and we find it in early writings of the Arizal, it's the term, if we're going to talk in Pnimiyas HaTorah, it's the term to use, Or Ein Sof. The Vilna Gaon, it's printed in the Likutei HaGra, the Vilna Gaon's writing on the Zohar, that even this term shouldn't be used. It's not really an appropriate term for Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a limiting term. It's a bizayon to call Hashem by this term. So why is it that we call Kadosh Baruch Hu an Or Ein Sof? That's the term that's selected. And the truth is the term Or and Ein Sof are really one and the same. There's a sefer by the Bnei Yisachar called the Regel Yishara. Bnei Yisachar is Tfiyali Melech of Dinov. His most famous sefer is Bnei Yisachar. It's a beautiful work on the Moadim. You've all heard Divrei Torah from it, even if you don't realize that you have. But he writes in this volume called Regel Yishara, which on the intro page, in the title page, it says it's a dictionary for terminology in Chassidus, Musar, and Kabbalah. In the very first entry, Or Ein Sof, he says, Or is Gematria 207. Ein Sof is Gematria 207. So the idea that is being expressed by the word Or is really the same idea as Ein Sof. This picture of light being this endless light, it's really one and the same. Or means Ein Sof. That's the term we use to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if Hashem is not really Or, and if the term Ein Sof, according to the Vilna Gaon, is a little bit derogatory almost, because it's limiting by putting it into words, so why is that the mashal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why is it that if you look in Pnimius HaTorah, this is the term that the Svarim use? So for this, we turn to the words of the Ramchal. The Ramchal is most famous for what sefer? Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim was written for everyone. The Ramchal wrote a lot of Svarim. Some are for everyone, some are not for everyone. He has a sefer called Klach Piskei Chachma. Klach, Kuf Lamed Ches, 138, Piskei Chachma. Openings to Chachma. It's also an introductory work to Kabbalah, spelling out different terms. And he explains in that sefer, why do we call Hashem an Or Ein Sof? It's not an appropriate term for Hashem. We shouldn't use any words to describe Hashem. But the Ramchal tells us something, which intuitively makes sense to us. We call Hashem an Or Ein Sof because what other choice do we have? We're not going to talk about Hashem. We'll never have conversations about Hashem. We need a term. We need to pick something in our world, in the physical world, in the world of Gashmias. We need to pick something that is the best possible description of Hashem. Says the Ramchal, what is the best of the worst? Because again, anything that we're going to pick from the Olam HaGashmi, anything from the physical world, is by definition limiting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's description. The best we have is to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Or. Because what's our relationship with light? This room is filled with light right now. You can't pick up the light. You can't grasp the light. You can't bottle the light. Right? The light, we feel it. We're in its presence. We're interacting with it as we speak. Or as I speak. But we can't hold on to it. It's not tangible. It's a gashmi, it's a real thing. Light is a real thing. There are scientific properties of light. It's a tangible thing, but it's not really a tangible thing. That's exactly what our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is. It has to be something that's very real, even though we never really come face to face with it. We never can hold it. We never can touch it in a very real way. So says the Ramchal in the Klach Piskei Chachma, the best of the worst terms, right? Again, anything, any term is, a by definition, is incomplete. But the best of the terms that we have is to call a Kodesh Baruch Hu Or. An Or Ein Sof, an endless light. Kodesh Baruch Hu is called Or. What else is called Or? The Torah is called Or. We always find that the Torah is referred to as Or. And it makes sense because the Torah is also sort of the best and most direct contact that I can have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Baal HaTani gives a beautiful and famous mashal in the fourth parak of the Tanya about a person comes into contact with the Kodesh Baruch Hu through the Torah. You'll take a look at that mashal. It's a very powerful mashal. But we know all the time the Torah is called Or. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Or, the Torah, which is the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is called Or. Because the Torah is expressing Hashem. It's the same thing. It's one and the same. The Torah is referred to sometimes as the Mashal HaKadmoni, the ancient parable. Who's the ancient one of the parable? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. We always refer to the Torah as Or. In the sixth parak of Mishlei, Kiner Mitzvah, the Torah, Or. Torah, Or. Ner Mitzvah. What does it mean, Ner Mitzvah? Ner means the candelabra. The candelabra is something you can hold. The mitzvah is something you can hold. You can hold the lulav in your hand. You can taste the matzah in your mouth. But Torah is Or. Torah is beyond. You can't hold it. Again, we interact with it. We try our best to make contact with it. But it's not something you can bottle. It's not something you can taste. It's not something you can touch, again, with our physical senses. It hovers a little bit beyond this world. Torah is always called Or. In the 8th parak of Megillas Esther, La'ihudim ha'isa Ora. The Gemara, very famously in Maseches Megillah, Dafta Zayin Darshins, Ora, Zutara. Or is your Torah. Torah is Or. And that's why, Klal Yisrael, if we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Or, if we understand that Torah is Or, now we understand why the Jewish people have a little bit of this crazy obsession with Or. We're always talking about Or. The Jewish people are always talking, we're davening about Or, we're longing for Or. It's always the language of light is the language of Klal Yisrael. The title of today's shiur was the culture of light. The Greeks are very into culture. We also have a culture. What does it mean to have a culture? Culture means the things that define you as a nation. What are the things that define Klal Yisrael, if not a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and His Torah? The language of Torah, the language and culture of Klal Yisrael is the language of light, is the language of Or. And we're always obsessed. We're obsessing over this concept called Or, called light. When the Kohanim get up to bless the Jewish people, that they should be good Jews, they should be healthy, religious people, they should be proper servants of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, what bracha do the Kohanim give to Klal Yisrael? Ya'er Hashem panav elecha. Hashem should give you some of His Or. The Or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should shine upon you. In the Birchas Kriya Shema that we recite in the morning, V'ha'er einenu b'sor asecha. Hashem, bring some Or to my eyes. Light up my eyes with your Torah. When we finish Shemona Esrei, as we're coming to the end of a very lengthy tefillah, everything that we could possibly want from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Barchenu avinu kulanu ke'echad be'or panecha, ki be'or panecha nasata lanu Torah Schayim. The Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Torah of Or. It's always about light. We always come back to light. We talk about Shabbos. We talk about the light of Shabbos. The art school book, The Radiance of Shabbos. Anyone have that book? Why do they call it The Radiance of Shabbos? Could have called it a lot of different things. The radiant, because when we think about Shabbos, we think of a glow. Right? Something lichtig, something shining. Neiros Shabbos. Just like we have a Ner Chanukah. There's a Ner Shabbos. That's the mitzvah of Shabbos. That's the mitzvah that brings in Shabbos. It's about light. When you see a person, and you see an inspiring religious person, you see a certain radiance. Like Chazal say, there's a panameiros, there's a shining expression on their face. That's the term that the Jewish people talk about. We're always talking about light. We're davening for light. We're longing for light. We're always seeking light. So now let's put together the pieces of the puzzle. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Or, Kiviyachol, again, it's the best description that we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the root of Or in the spiritual realms is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the expression of that light is HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicating to Klal Yisrael through the Torah. So when we put the two together, so what do we find? We find that if you want to have a serious relationship with Torah, if you want to understand the Or of the Torah, which is what Torah is all about, the Medrash says in Eicha that if a person strays from the path and you want to bring them back, bring them to Torah. And the Or Shabo Machzir Lamutav, the light of Torah brings them back. Why not just say the Torah brings them back? Because there's Torah and then there's the light of Torah. The light of Torah is, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence within the Torah that we study. You hear how we're putting it together? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the shorge, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the starting point of light, of our relationship, again, within the spiritual, in spiritual language, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is light, and the expression of that light is HaKadosh Baruch Hu shining Himself down into the world through the Torah, that means if I want to really experience the Torah, I have to make sure that the light is present. If the light of Torah is not there, right, then it's not Torah anymore. Torah is called light because it's an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to the degree that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a part of our Torah learning, we'll explain what that means, the Torah becomes Torah. So what happens? What happens when Jewish people study Torah and there's no Or? What happens when we try to learn Torah and Hashem is not part of that learning experience? What happens when a person, Rachmana Litzlan, goes to Torah classes like they go to secular classes, and you look at it as one and the same? This is a class and this is a class. Maybe I get a grade here, maybe I get a grade there. Or maybe I don't even get a grade. But I start to look at it as just another subject. What happens when Torah becomes another subject? If Torah loses its Or, if Torah loses its connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah itself, this is going to sound harsh, but I'll explain it, becomes Choshech. The Torah itself can become darkness. See, we assume that Torah is always an amazing thing. And it's true, we should start off with that assumption. But I want to read a pasuk together. There's a pasuk in the Tzavim that says, "Re'ein asati lefanecha yom etzachayim v'satov v'shamaves v'shara." It's in Paraklam at pasuk Tesvav. I'll read it again. "Re'ein asati lefanecha hayom etzachayim v'satov v'shamaves v'shara." What do you think the pasuk's talking about? What's chayim and tov? What's maves and ra? So, Rashi says, "Chayim and Tov versus Mavis and Ra." Tov and Ra is referring to the behavior of a person. Sometimes I'm Tov, sometimes I'm Ra. And if I'm Tov, I'm going to have Chaim. I'm going to have Schar and Olam Haba. And if I'm Ra, then I'm going to have Mavis. Mavis means I'm going to have Onesh in the world to come. Rashi. Svarno. Svarno says, Tov and Ra refer to reward in this world. Chaim and Mavis refers to further Schar and Onesh as it plays out in the next world. Okay. Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, "Esachayim v'esatov b'kiyam haTorah, v'esamavis v'esara im lo yikaimua." Right? Makes sense to us. Good equals chayim. Torah is good. Torah is chayim. Bad is a person who strays from Torah. He's not mekayim the Torah, and he's left with mavis and ra. But then Rabbeinu Bechaya says a second pshat. I want you to listen carefully. Listen to this. O Yomar, hachayim v'atov. V'amavis v'ara. All four parts. Chaim, which is synonymous with Tov. Mavis, which is synonymous with Ra. The whole thing, ala Torah atzma. The whole thing is talking about Torah. Really? Did you ever hear this in your life? That Torah is called Mavis? That Torah is called Ra? that Torah can be choshech, that Torah can become destructive. I thought Torah is chayim. Ein tov el Torah. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos Daf Hey, and in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. And so chayim v'sa tov has to equal Torah, and mavis and ra has to equal something else. Says Rabbeinu B'chayim, not necessarily. It's possible that mavis and ra refers to Torah as well. And he quotes a pasuk, "V'gamani nasati lem chukim lo tovim u'mishpatim lo yichyu behem." Ki a Torah litzadik ki a chayim v'atov. If the right type of person with the right type of attitude studies Torah, it's chayim, it's tov, it's unbelievable. But if a person studies Torah in the wrong way, the Torah to the rasha becomes maves and becomes ra. The Torah can become a destructive thing. The Torah, which the etzem is light, is an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light, can become choshech. The Torah itself. Not everything that's not Torah is choshech. The Torah itself can become the biggest ra, can become the biggest death sentence, can become the darkest choshech on planet Earth. I want to share with you a very scary gemara. The gemara says, in Maseches Yoma Daf Ayin Beis, "Mai dechsev v'zos haTorah asher sam Moshe." We know this pasuk, Parshas Veschanan. V'zos haTorah asher sam Moshe. Sam Moshe. Sam is spelled with a sin, but listen to the play on words here. Zocha nasis lo sam achayim. If a person's worthy, then the Torah becomes sam. Sam means a medicine, a potion, an elixir, a sam achayim, an elixir of life. If a person's zocha, then Torah is a sam achayim. Lo zocha, the Torah itself, nasis lo sam misa. The Torah becomes poison. What does it mean, zocha? So we're used to interpreting this Gemara, if we've ever heard this Gemara before. Zocha is milashon zocha. If I'm worthy, if I'm lucky, then Torah is a sam achayim. If I'm not so lucky, if something goes wrong, then Torah can become a sam misa. Rav Chaim Volozhiner had a different pshat. A more Chanukah dika pshat. He says, zocha is milashon shemen zayis zach. If you're pure, if you're the right type of person, if you approach the Torah in the right way, that, it's not zocha, if I'm so fortunate in this abstract kind of way. No, if I'm zach, if I make myself a pure kli to receive the Torah, a fitting vessel, then for sure the Torah is going to be a samachayim, the elixir of life. It's life itself. But if Rachmana Litzlan, a person approaches the Torah, and a person approaches the Torah with the wrong attitude, a person is not zach, we're not pure in the way that we come before the Torah, so nasis lo sam miso. It becomes poison, it becomes a death sentence. What does it mean to approach the Torah in the right way? You know, there's a history of how Klal Yisrael approached the Torah in the right way. What does it mean to sit in the presence of Torah? I mean, it's easy. You take a book off the shelf. Baruch Hashem, we live in a time. There's such an abundance of svarim. It's easy to get your hands on a Torah. The last mitzvah of the Torah is write a sefer Torah. Because once upon a time, if you didn't write a Torah yourself, you didn't have access. Now you go to the shelf, you pick up any sefer. You flip it open, you look around. Speaks to you, doesn't speak to you, pick up another one. What does it mean to sit in the presence of Torah? You know, they say that one of the great tzaddikim said, when he went to learn by one of the other great tzaddikim of the generation, he said they used to learn Gemara together. He said, more than I learned about how to read the Gemara, and how to read the Tosfos, and how to read the Rishonim, the most important thing I learned is how a Jew sits in front of the Gemara. There's a way that a person comes to Torah. You can't just grab a book off the shelf and say, this is life, so it's going to work for me. A person has to be zach. A person has to be pure. A person has to be humble, a person has to be honest, and you have to come to the Torah humbly. Not trying to conquer the Torah. There's people who come to conquer the Torah. What does it mean to conquer the Torah? It means that you come at the Torah attacking. Now, sometimes you sit with someone who's a little bit unfamiliar with Torah. They haven't studied very much. And they're interested in learning, but they're also kind of more interested in disproving the Torah. And the second you start to learn, you see they're on the attack. That's not how you come before Torah. If you come before Torah in that way, it's going to destroy you. You're going to be destroying it, and it's going to be destroying you. It's sam hamisa, it's poison. But if a person zach, and a person comes humbly before the Torah, not coming to criticize the Torah, not to see the Torah through the lens of biblical criticism, but to come humbly and say, I don't know anything, and I want to know. I want to taste a little bit of the ore. I want to experience a little bit of whatever it is that you, Torah, have to offer me. So then the Torah becomes an unbelievable thing. Think about the nature of or. Think about light or esh. We're obsessed with esh as well. Kabbalah's Torah took place with fire. There's fires, big fires. Why are we so interested in fire? Why does Torah take place through fire? Because fire also has these two properties. Fire can be the most helpful, useful, practical thing to make my life convenient and nice. Fire can cook. Fire can heat. But fire can also destroy. Fire could burn your house down. Fire can kill you. And again, it's those two expressions of what Eish, of what Or is, when we come before the Torah, that we have the opportunity to come into contact with. And this, my friends, is exactly where Yavan comes onto the scene. What does Yavan want from Klal Yisrael? What do the Yavanim want? What are they trying to do? It's not Purim, they're not trying to kill us. What were they trying to do? What's the story of Hanukkah? The Medrash says, at the beginning of Chumash, right, describing the pasuk, the world was tohu vavohu v'choshech al pnei sahom. The Medrash darshan, you've heard this before, choshech zo yavan. Choshech is a reference to yavan, which means everything that we've explained, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents Or, and Torah represents Or, there's a force in the world that's against that. It's called yavan. We're in the month of Teves. What fast day is coming up? Asar b'Teves. So I tricked you. Because you open up the Shulchan Aruch to chapter 580, you'll see that there's a fast day that comes before Asar b'Teves. We may not have the practice to keep such a fast day, but in the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Tov Kuf Pei, the 8th of Teves is a fast day. What happened on the 8th of Teves? Historically, what happened on the 8th of Teves? The 8th of Teves was the day that Talmai HaMelech, Talmai HaMelech, the Greek king, took a group of rabbis, and he locked them up in different rooms, and he said, I want you to translate the Torah into Lashon Yavani. Translate the Torah into Greek language. And the Shulchan Aruch says, quoting from earlier sources, when that happened on the 8th of Teves, Hayachoshech Ba'olam Gimel Yamin. The world went dark for 3 days. Now that doesn't mean if we would have been around then, it would have been pitch black for 3 days, although that's possible. But it meant that anyone who had eyes to see, anyone who understood how to see the world in a deeper way, recognized that something terrible just happened in the world. The world just went dark. When Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev passed away, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, who was nowhere near the Berditchever at the time, said to his Hasidim, anyone who had eyes in their head saw that the world went dark that day. The sun was still shining, everything looked normal. But if you had eyes to see, you saw that the world went dark that day. On the 8th of Teves, the world went dark for 3 days. So let me ask you a question. Why 3 days? Why 3 days? Again, the world stayed dark for a long time because of that. But there was a particular darkness that was hovering over the world for 3 days. Why 3 days? Why dafka 3 days? That's the Lashon of Chazal. That's where the Shulchan Aruch got it from. Rav Nosson Gishtetner in his parish on the Moadim, called Lahoros Nassim, the fifth volume, says, why 3 days? Why dafka 3 days of darkness? And he says, you have to understand what it means to translate the Torah into Greek. What was the great tragedy of translating the Torah into Greek? What's the big deal? What's lost? It makes it more accessible. It's a beautiful thing. The answer is, what did the Greeks want to do? What's their whole philosophy? The Greeks don't like Hashem. The Greeks like ideas. The Greeks like wisdom. They're deep thinkers. They're the best thinkers, other than our sages. But they don't like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Translating the Torah into Greek was a plan, not to kill the Torah, but to kill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence within the Torah. The Or within the Torah. They wanted us to turn the Torah into nothing other than this hair-splitting analysis, Chefsa, Gavra, to turn this whole thing into just this intellectual gymnastics, which sometimes we hear when we study Torah. Sometimes people present Shirim in that way, and not for a second does it have anything to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Greek. That's the Greek approach to learning Torah. And says Rav Nosson Gishtetner, now we understand why it was 3 days. Because there are four parts to the Torah. There are four dimensions to the Torah. There's Pshat, there's Remez, there's Drash, and there's Sod. There's the simple interpretation, that which sort of makes sense on the surface, but then there's a deeper level called Remez, and a deeper level, and a deeper level. Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. We call it Pardes, Rashi Tevos. Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. Says Rav Nosson Gishtetner, the world went dark for 3 days. Why? Because 3/4 of the Torah was lost when the Torah was translated into Greek. It was translated in a way that expressed Pshat. Seichel Enoshi, man-made intellect. How can this book make sense to man? Nothing to do with God, nothing to do with spiritual universes. How can I make this into just a nice legal document, like many of the other wonderful legal documents that they studied at that time? And unfortunately, we fall into this trap all the time. How many of us growing up, and I know I'm sounding repetitive from last time, but how many of us growing up, when we learned Torah, talked about Hashem in the conversation? And I'm not... there's a curriculum, the teachers have things, there's obligations to finish. But if we're so busy getting through the Chumash and getting through the Halachos, you might step back at the end of it and say, like, where's the starting point? What are we talking about here? Why do I care about this? What does this have to do with anything? Because we're so busy in the details that we grew up with the Torah, some of us, not all of us, but some of us grew up. I've certainly met people in my life who grew up this way, and to this day still feel this way, that the Torah is a very dark place. It's strange, it's foreign, it doesn't make any sense. What does that have to do with me? It's a dark place. The Torah can be a very, very dark place. The Torah can be a destructive place. You can use Torah in the most destructive of ways. And now I think we're ready to understand the tefillah that we recite on Hanukkah. What did the Yevanim want to do? The Yevanim came, like it says in the Nosach of the tefillah, Lashkicham Torasecha. So we normally think that means they wanted to destroy the Torah. It's not true. They wanted to access the Torah. They wanted to translate it into Greek. So what does it mean, Lashkicham Torasecha? What's the key letter? The key letter is the letter Chaf, Lashkicham Torasecha. They wanted the Jewish people to forget that the Torah that we have is Torasecha, is your Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let's suck all of the Or out of it. Let's suck all of the Hashem out of it. And let's turn it back into some simple document. Some simple document. Some simple legal document. And I mentioned last time, I'll say it again. Sorry to sound repetitive. But the Rambam, when he quotes Psukim in the Torah, he always quotes them in the same way. When the Rambam, in the Parash HaMishnah, quotes Psukim, the Rambam uses the following phrase. And again, it's a phrase that may be foreign to us. We didn't grow up with this phrase. The Rambam says, Amar Hashem Yisbar, Hashem says. He never says the Torah says. He always talks about Hashem saying. Because Lashkicham Torasecha, what the Yevanim wanted to do, was again, Torasecha. You want to learn the Torah? Learn the Torah. But don't let it be about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you know what? Most of Klal Yisrael thought that was a good idea. It's a compromise. If we don't settle, if we don't try to let the Greeks into the base measure, so to speak, we're going to lose everything. Let's compromise. But there was a handful of Jews who said, no way. That's not what Torah is. Torah without Or is not Torah. Torah without Or is Choshech. It's a death sentence. And we're not going to compromise. We're not going to allow Yavin to take away the Torah from us. I was in Eretz Yisrael a couple of weeks ago. I had this chus of meeting a great tzaddik. His name's Rav Kluger. Rav Avram Tzvi Kluger. He has a beautiful sefer I want to recommend to you. It was written for women. It was shiurim that he gave to women. It was written up in Hebrew. It's an easy Lashon HaKodesh. The sefer is called Oscha Avakesh. And on page 80, he brings a beautiful thing. He says, I'll show you, the Yevanim didn't hate Torah. They didn't hate the ideas of Torah. They hated the Kodesh Baruch. We have to understand that very carefully. Because sometimes people think Hanukkah is all about just more and more Torah. You're going to be learning more and more Torah, and you're not fighting the Hanukkah fight. The fight for Hanukkah is the fight for Kodesh Baruch. And Rav Kluger on page 80 proves it in the following way. He says, what's the famous decree the Yevanim made? The Yevanim said, Kisvu al Keren Ashur, they commanded the Jews right on the horn of an ox, She'ein lachem chelek belokei Yisrael. Right on the horn of an ox that you don't believe in the Jewish God. So Rav Kluger says, just read it slowly. That doesn't mean they hate Torah. Lashkicham Torah Secha, don't forget the Chaf Sofit at the end. What do the Yevanim want to do? They want us to declare publicly, Ein lachem chelek belokei Yisrael. It doesn't say, Ein lachem chelek betoras Yisrael. You want Torah? Great. But read our translation of the Torah. Read the Torah in the way that we want to present it. The revealed Torah, the pshat of Torah. Without those other three dimensions. Take 25% of the Torah and leave the other 75% behind. In South Korea, in almost every home, there's a copy of the Talmud. Did you know that? South Korea, they study the Talmud in their schools. It's very nice. They study the Talmud. Why do they study the Talmud? They study the Talmud because they want to be smart. So we could also study Torah to become smart. There's a lot of other things we could do to be smart also. In South Korea, they study the Talmud to be smart. That's not what Torah is. Torah is Or. That's the definition of Torah. Laihudamaisa Or, Or is Torah. Kinir mitzvah a Torah Or. If Torah is lacking light, it's not Torah. You're wasting your time. Go study something else. You're making it into just another subject that anyone in the world could be studying. That someone in South Korea could be sitting in their home reading a translation of the Talmud Bavli. I once heard from a Meir Goldvich. He was joking one summer, but he said, the Gemara describes a pasuk, explains a pasuk in Megillas Eicha, the third parak. The pasuk says in Eicha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed us in darkness. So the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin on Daf Chaf Dalet says, what does it mean Hashem placed us in darkness? Zo Talmudah Shel Bavel. This is the Talmud of Bavel. So the Gemara, what's it saying? Rashi explains that in Bavel the rabbis were very mean to each other. So the Beis Medrash in Bavel was a dark place. But Rav Goldvich once joked, he said, how do Jews refer to Gemara? We call it Gemara. No one calls it Talmud Bavli. I would never go over to someone and say, tell me, what are you learning in Talmud Bavli? In academic circles, that's how they talk. That's not how Jews who study Torah for hundreds and thousands of years speak. We call it Gemara. So Rav Goldberg joked. He said, Kadosh Baruch Hu placed us in darkness. Is that Talmud Shel Bavel? If you talk about Talmud Bavli, so you're could be sitting in South Korea studying Talmud Bavli. But if you want to study Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you want to study Gemara, if you want to study Chumash, if you want to study the Dvar Hashem, right, that's Or. It has to be Or. It has to be filled with Or. And that's what the Choshech of Yavin is trying to destroy. Lashkicham Torah Secha. Lashkicham Torah Secha. The Rambam was a rationalist. The Rambam wrote the Mor Nevuchim to try to explain all the Torah in a rational, in a very rational type of way. But never for a second did the Rambam forget to say, Amar Hashem Yisbarach, when he quoted Pesukim. That Hashem is the one who commands us in the Torah. And I'm begging you, Chanukah, as we come to the last night of Chanukah, I'm begging you, learn Torah in that way. Because I've seen over and over again, if you don't learn Torah in that way, you will not be learning Torah in 2 years from now. You won't. You're doing it now because if it's just a class, that's it. Your relationship with Torah is over. And by extension, Chas V'Shalom, your relationship with Hashem starts to fall apart. There are so many people who spend years and years studying Torah, but because they're not studying it in this way, it's not going anywhere. It leads to Choshech. It leads to complete darkness, to complete burnout. The Chazon Ish was one of the greatest Talmud scholars, one of the greatest Gemara scholars of the last century. The Chazon Ish described one time what inspired him to become so amazing in Gemara. Again, in Gemara, you're in the nitty-gritty. You're trying to work out the details of Torah. It doesn't always feel so bright and shining. But the Chazon Ish said, what was it that inspired me to strive for greatness in Gemara? He says that one time he was standing outside the door of the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Zion Sternfeld. Who's Rabbi Zion Sternfeld? Rabbi Zion Sternfeld was one of the people who gave the Chafetz Chaim a Haskama, a letter of approval for the Mishnah Berurah. It's pretty good. Even though it's not Rabbi Zion Sternfeld's not a household name, he was a big person, needless to say. And the Chazon Ish was standing outside his door listening to him learn Gemara. As a young man, he was listening. And he said he heard the most amazing thing. And it wasn't some chiddush that he said. It wasn't the way he explained Tosfos or answered a Rambam. And it wasn't even the tune that he used to sing the words of Torah. It's how he started every time he started to say a teaching of the Torah. He would say, Amar Hashem Yisbach, Zak the Rabbona Sholem, Shor Shanaga Chesapara. Now the truth is, you open up the Gemara, it's not Zak the Rabbona Sholem. It's Ravina, it's Ravashi, it's Reish Lakish, it's Abaye and Rava. And Rabbi Zion Sternfeld would remind himself before he learns the nitty-gritty details of Torah that if there's no Or, if there's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it's not the Torah of Hashem, if it's not Torah Secha, then I'm wasting my time. And I'm wasting my time with the shore, with the ox that ran into the cow and twisted its ankle in the pit along the way. It becomes empty. It becomes worthless. When Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his friends, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai v'chaveirav, the Gemara describes, used to sit and learn Torah. So the Gemara says, the Talmud Yerushalmi says, they would not stop to recite Kriya Shema. Why bother, after all? Zeshinun v'zeshinun. Saying Shema is words of Torah, and whatever else they were learning, Baba Kama is also words of Torah. You know what you see from that Talmud Yerushalmi? That when a person studies Torah, it could be a form of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. It doesn't matter what you're studying. Zeshinun v'zeshinun. You don't need to stop to say Shema. Of course, we stop to say Shema because we don't know how to learn Torah in that way. But that's the goal of Torah. That when I learn Torah, whatever it is, no matter how detail-oriented it is, and I'm into the pratim of the details, but I never for a second, in all of the details, I never for a second lose sight of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to read you an amazing thing I found in the Sefer Rachmei Av. Rachmei Av is a small Sefer written by a great Rav, the Abbasin of Chust. And he quotes in Os Chav Gimel, a tiny story about Rav Mordechai Benet. Rav Mordechai Benet was a good friend of the Chassam Sofer. When Rav Mordechai Benet passed away, the Chassam Sofer said about him, he eulogized him, that it was as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu lost his only child. That's how highly regarded Rav Mordechai Benet was in the eyes of the Chassam Sofer. Knew in what way was Rav Mordechai Benet the only child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What did he do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He learned a lot of Torah. He was a genius, Rav Mordechai Benet. At his bar mitzvah, he published 3 svarim. That's how big of a genius he was. But what was it that was so unbelievable that the Chassam Sofer said that a ben yachid of Kutcha Bricha was lost when Rav Mordechai Benet passed away? Listen to what Rav Yaakov Katina brings in the Rach Me'af. V'sipru b'shem agon atzadik morenu Rav Mordechai Benet. Shai ragil lichtov osios ba'avir v'lo yaduma. Like a conductor. He was always doing something. He was writing in the air with his finger. He'd be sitting giving a Gemara shir. He'd be sitting explaining a Gemara, a Rashi, a Tosfos, a Ramban on Chumash. He'd be working through a piece of Torah, and his hand would be conducting in the air. It was weird. It got weird. He was always writing in the air. So one time the Talmidim said, "What's going on here?" At Shirgishu Pamecha Chakasav. What was he always so busy writing in the air? The Lashon of the Tefillah from Rosh Hashanah. Ashrei Ish Shelo Yishkachecha. Praiseworthy is the man who never forgets you. Because Rav Mordechai Benet understood that every bit of Torah, every chiddush that he ever had, is only as good as his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Or of Torah. The Or Ein Sof of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ashrei Ish, praiseworthy is the man, not the man who learns Torah, not the man who finishes Shas. Ashrei Ish Shelo Yishkachecha. The person who lives with the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I was in Israel, I met a young man. He came over to me in yeshiva. Yeshiva that you probably heard of. He sat down, he said he wants to speak to me. Okay? Now, I had found out Motzei Shabbos from this fellow's friend that this guy had just finished Shas. It's an impressive accomplishment for a young man learning in yeshiva. I've never finished Shas. I hope to one day. That's an impressive accomplishment. 2,711 pages of Gemara. That's an impressive accomplishment. I didn't think he was exactly my type. I was very surprised when I found out he wanted to talk to me. He sits down with me. And I could see all over his body language. This was a dark, he was a broken person. And we started to talk. I said, "You know, it's unbelievable. I heard you finished Shas. It's amazing." He says, "I don't know what to do with myself." I said, "What do you mean, I don't know what to do with yourself? You just finished Shas. Let's do it again. This time, learn it with, you know, Rashi and Tosfos. Do a little more. Do it a little more Be'ian. Study it more in depth." He says, "I have no desire to learn Gemara." I says, "How could it be? How could it be that you finished the entirety of Shas and have no desire to learn Gemara?" He says, "There's no ischachus. I'm not excited about it at all." He said, "Not only that, I'm taking some secular classes online, and I'm more excited about those than the Gemara. I can't even begin. I can't pick up a Gemara." So I said, how could it be? But it was very clear to me. And I know he wasn't so comfortable with this type of language, so I couldn't say it to him directly. But I hinted to it over and over. Which is, "My friend, you've been learning Gemara without any or. There's no HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it. So of course, the more you're learning it, the darker your life becomes. Gemara has become darkness to you. An unbelievable accomplishment that leaves you feeling so broken. How could such a thing be?" It's because Ashrei Ish Shelo Yishkachecha. Praiseworthy is the person who understands Yishkachecha, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah. Secha, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah. If it's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah, so what are we doing? And it doesn't mean we have to spend the whole time when we're sitting trying to learn the Parsha, thinking about Hashem. You don't have to sit there like Rav Mordechai Benet, writing in the air, Ashrei Ish Shelo Yishkachecha. You don't have to do that the entire time. It takes 2 seconds. It takes 2 seconds. Like Rav Benzion Sternfeld, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zach the Rabbona Sholem, Amar Hashem Yisbach. 2 seconds before you engage in anything that you do, whether it's learning Torah or any other mitzvah. 2 seconds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want this to be about my relationship with you. I want to tap into the or. I want to tap into the light of the thing that I'm experiencing right now. In the Sefer Mesilas God, Rav God Eisner brings an amazing thing. He says it doesn't take a lot. When we're dealing with trying to let light into our life, it doesn't take a lot. He says, Birur pnimius minachitzonius. When a person is trying to be mavara, to sift some pnimius, to tap into something deep from that which is external. It's similar to sifting through grains or through beans, some type of kernels. Ahesh nekuda hashona imena, but there's one difference. If I'm trying to find a needle in a haystack, I have to sift through the whole thing until I'm sure that I've checked everywhere. The Bereiros HaKitnius, when I'm searching, when I'm checking, right, vegetables for bugs, I have to check every piece carefully. Torach Livror Echad Echad Ad Gemira, from start to finish, every single one has to be checked head to toe. What about when it comes to Torah? How much do you have to sift? How much do you have to just create that little opening? Ach Bereiros HaPnimius Minechitzonius Kasher Ach Maschilim Levarer, as soon as you start to sift, Me'at Minahor Docha Harbe Minachoshach. A drop of light, a drop of a Kodesh Baruch Hu in learning, that's all it takes. Zok de Rabbona Sholem. 2 seconds of just putting your learning into a context that it shouldn't just be another class, that it shouldn't just be like any other subject that a person studies. The Yavana wanted Bashkicham Torah Secha. We need to remember the Rabbona Sholem. So I'm pointing out, what's the difference between the Shoresh, the Gematria of the Shoresh for remembering and forgetting? Shachach, Shin, Chaf, Ches is Gematria. 328. Right? Zechira, Zion, Chaf, Resh, the shorish for remembering, is 227. What's the difference between them? 101. Why 101? The Gemara says you can't compare a person who learned something 100 times to a person who learns it 101 times. The Baal Shem Tov has a famous explanation. What does it mean 100 versus 100? You learn it one more time, so you can't compare. The Baal Shem Tov said you can learn the Gemara 100 times. Or you can learn it 101 with awareness of the one above. You learn the same Gemara 100 times. But you can't compare the person who learns something 100 times to the person who learns it 100 times and one is aware of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the difference between Asher Ish Lo Ishkachecha and the Yevanim Lashkicham Torah Secha. The Yevanim want to take away the Torah from Klal Yisrael. I want to leave you with a story. I heard a story many years ago. The story goes back to a hot summer night, a family living in Manhattan. It was a father, you have to understand what America was generations ago. To keep a job from one week to the next was almost impossible. It was this man, he used to, with Mesiras Nefesh, he'd lose his job every single week for Shabbos. He wouldn't come in on Saturday, he'd be fired. So, this fellow would come home Friday afternoon after having been dismissed, telling his boss he's not coming back the next day. He was struggling to make a parnasa, but he would tell his children, Tzedakah tatzim imavis. I know we don't have much, but Tzedakah tatzim imavis. Tzedakah tatzim imavis. If we give to others, Hashem will give us back. It'll save our life. Tzedakah tatzim imavis. So every week he would go with his son to shul, and they would bring home a guest. He was very makkah. We have to have a guest at our Shabbos table. Every single week he would teach his children, Tzedakah tatzim imavis. One week the father comes home, and all of a sudden he sees the little child comes running out of the apartment. He says, something's wrong with mommy. They call the doctor. It turns out the mother was diagnosed with tuberculosis. An ambulance came. They took the mother. They took her off to the hospital. This was Erev Shabbos. This young boy was... The father says, listen, I'm going with mommy to the hospital. I'll walk back. I'll be back. You go to shul. Don't forget. Tzedakah tatzim imavis. Bring home a guest. This young boy doesn't... He goes to shul. He finds a guest. He says, please, can you come to our house for Shabbos? We'd love to have you for a meal. We don't have much to offer, but please. He brings someone home. By the time he gets back, his father's waiting for him. He's very nervous. What's going to be with mommy? What's going to be with mommy? The whole meal, what's going to be with mommy? He's sitting there. It's a quiet meal. They're guests. They make some small conversation. After the meal, the guest leaves, and he's sitting out on the fire escape. It was brutally hot in the apartment buildings in the summer. He's sitting out on the fire escape just to get some fresh air. He's sitting with his father. And he's sitting there, and the boy's sitting there with his head hung low. And he says to Abba, what's going to be with mommy? So he says, don't worry, mommy's going to be fine. Mommy's going to be fine. He says, but Tati, mommy has to be fine, right? Because Tzedakah tatzim imavis. You know, for years, we've been bringing home a guest every single Shabbos. And now we really need it. Mommy's in danger. Tzedakah tatzim imavis. So he looks at his son and he says, did you think all these years, Tzedakah tatzim imavis is about mommy? You think Tzedakah tatzim imavis is about any of us? I never meant Tzedakah tatzim imavis. It saves our life from death. Tzedakah tatzim imavis saves the Kodesh Baruch Hu in this world. Tzedakah tatzim imavis means that the Jewish people continue to bring light into this world. The Kodesh Baruch Hu can exist. And if not, if we don't learn Hashem's Torah in the right way, if we don't engage in Torah in the right way, in an honest way, not because it saves my life, because it gives me something, but because Zoch the Rebbeinu Shalom. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu came to us at Har Sinai and said something to Klal Yisrael. If we don't study in that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom, Kiviyachol, loses his face in this world. He loses his expression in this world. Tzedakah tatzim imavis is about saving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chanukah, a handful of Jews saved the Kadosh Baruch Hu. They understood that there has to be an or in the Torah. What year did the Chanukah miracle take place? Vayisheni lasted for 420 years. We have a tradition that the Chanukah story took place in year 213. Vayisheni lasted for 420 years. How many years were left from the Chanukah story until the end of Vayisheni? 207 years b'gematria or. The story of Chanukah are Jews who fought for war, who put a Kadosh Baruch Hu back into the picture, who didn't let Yavan take a Kadosh Baruch Hu out of the picture. Lashkicham Torah Secha. So Mirtz Hashem, we should all be Zocha. We come from a legacy of war. The Chanukah story is a victory of war. The Jewish people are a culture of war. A Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless us. Ye'er Hashem panave lecha. We should just let, like the Mesilas God said, a drop of light. We don't have to sit there all day like Rav Mordechai Benet, writing love letters to a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the sky. But a little bit of light, a little bit of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence in whatever bit of Torah that we're learning. And Amir Hashem, as we continue to add or, we'll be zochet to see the or gadol. Mashiach Tzidkenu v'mehera b'yameinu. Amen. Veilech and Chanukah.